Ritualistic ceremonies. Sadhunam, who are honest. Griha Medinam, situated with wife and children. Kritavanasi, have created. Durmarsham, unbearable. Vipriyam, wrong. Tava, your. Marshittam, forgiven. Translation, although I live in a household life with my wife and children, I honestly follow the Vedic injunctions by engaging in fruitive activities. To enjoy life without sinful reactions, I have performed all kinds of yagyas, including the Devi Yaga, Rishi Yaga, Pitra Yaga, Nara Yagya, because these yajnas are called vratas or vows, I am known as a Griha Vrata. Unfortunately, you have given me great displeasure by misguiding my sons for no reason to the path of renunciation. This can be tolerated once. Purport, Prajapati Daksha wanted to prove that he had been more tolerant in not having said anything when Narada Muni for no reason induced his 10,000 innocent sons to adopt the path of renunciation. Sometimes householders accused of being Grihamedis, for Grihamedis are satisfied with family life without spiritual advancement. Grihastas are different because although Grihastas live in household life with their wives and children, they're eager for spiritual advancement. One to prove that he had been magnanimous to Narada Muni, Prajapati Daksha stressed that when Narada Muni had misled his first son, Daksha had taken no action. He had been kind and tolerant. He was a Griha, however, because Narada Muni had misled his sons for the second time. Therefore, he wanted to prove that Narada Muni, although dressed as a sadhu, was not actually a sadhu. He himself, although a householder, was a greater sadhu than Narada Muni. Text 43, you have made me lose my sons once, and now you have given, have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave towards others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Prabhupada, because Prajapati Daksha was a Grihamedi who wanted to remain in household life, he thought that if Narada Muni could not remain in one place, but had to travel all over the world, that would be a great punishment for him. Actually, however, such a punishment is a boon for a preacher. A preacher is known as a Prajapacharya, an acharya or teacher who always travels for the benefit of human society. Prajapati Daksha cursed Narada Muni by saying that although he had the facility to travel all over the universe, he would never be able to stay in one place. In the Parampara system from Narada Muni, I have also been cursed. Although I have many centers that would be suitable places of residence, I cannot stay anywhere, for I have been cursed by the parents of my younger disciples. Since the Krishna consciousness movement was started, I have traveled all over the world two or three times a year, and although I am provided comfortable places to stay whenever I go, I cannot stay anywhere for more than 3 days or a week. I do not mind this curse by the parents of my disciples, but now it is necessary I stay in one place to finish another passage, translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. If my young disciples, especially those who have taken sannyas, take charge of traveling all over the world, it may be possible for me to transfer the curse of the parents to these younger creatures. Then I may sit down conveniently in one place for the work of translation. Translation, although I live in household life with my wife and children, I honestly follow the Vedic injunction by engaging in fruitive activities to enjoy life without sinful reactions. I perform all kinds of yajnas, including the Devi Yajna, Rishi Yajna, Pitru Yajna, and Nara-yajna. Because these yajnas are called vratas, I am known as a Griha Vrata. Unfortunately, you have given me great displeasure by misguiding my sons for no reason to the path of renunciation. This can be tolerated once. You made me lose my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave towards others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you. We have no residence anywhere. So here is the conclusion of Daksha's statement. All of the previous words actually are leading to this final statement. In other words, he is justifying his curse by showing the reasons why he is righteous and Narada is not. So, as Prabhupada is explaining here, he is showing his tolerance by accepting that Narada Muni once took away his sons. But now he's saying twice, I cannot do that. Of course, the opposite, we can take the opposite view in saying that the first 10,000 sons stopped their material existence. That was auspicious. So if Narada Muni does this again, it is doubly auspicious. But this is the opposite idea for Daksha. Maybe once we can tolerate getting separated from our children, but we cannot tolerate twice. So we must keep our children here with us in the material world. However, Daksha defends his position by talking about his own commitment to follow the rules of karma. Of course, the karma kanda section of the Vedas is there. It's part of the Vedas. It's also eternal, because the Vedas are eternal. And some people become attached to that portion of the Vedas, and they think that is the ultimate injunction to follow the orders in the karma kanda section, including all these different rituals and vows, etc. However, we also understand there are other sections of the Vedas, the Gyan Kanda and Upasana Kanda. Someone could not ignore those. So generally, people who know the Vedas understand that Karma Kanda is a section, but it cannot be taken alone. It has to be taken in conjunction with the Gyan Kanda and Upasana Kanda. So we cannot simply rely on the statements in karma and take that as everything. When a person comes to the position of jnana, then he understands that karma is a very temporary measure and it is inferior to jnana. And ultimately, it must be given up. So that is the general understanding. It's also mentioned there in the Brahma Sutras when it says, Tato Brahma Jigyasa. So, the meaning of this atato means that after undergoing all the rituals of karma and understanding their temporary nature, then one should progress to inquiry about Brahman and become spiritual. So therefore, though karma does have its place, it is only a introduction which should be followed by inquiry into Brahman. So it cannot be taken by itself. So here we see that Daksha more or less is isolating his own life with the karma part of it, and he refuses to accept the rest of it. He's attached to his sons, and he's also not mentioning here whether he should renounce also. Because technically he should also renounce at the age of 50 or whatever and leave his household and his sons, etc., and go to the forest as a vanaprastha. But he's not considering that part of the Vedic injunction at all. He's only considering the family part, the grihastha section of that. Interesting enough, he calls himself here a grihamedhi. Medhi means the one who thinks of, or whose consciousness is centered on, griha. But he doesn't take this in a negative sense. He says, oh, this is very good to concentrate on family life, because this is mentioned in the Vedas. So I'm concentrating on this by doing all my duties, all my karmas, according to the Vedic injunctions. So this is his defense. And on the other hand, you've done something which is very wrong. Narada Muni has done something which cannot be accepted. Because, and not once but twice, he has taken away his sons. By having absence of sons, having no sons, of course, there's a problem in terms of duties. His duties cannot be fulfilled properly, because the son has to do his shraddha rites, etc. It is his duty to have sons who can do the rites, and if they disappear and renounce, they cannot do that. So in one sense, by having his sons lost, his own karmas are not perfect. So this is one reason why he's talking like this. But that is a relative position, because we see the higher position is that karma is in the low level and jnana is higher, and of course bhakti is higher than that. So if a person takes to the higher process, then the lower process is insignificant. It's not to be considered anymore. And breaking the rules of the lower system, if one has gone to the higher system, is not considered to be improper. So Narada Muni is following the higher principle, and Daksha is following the lower principles. So of the two, the higher principles have more strength, ultimately. So Daksha's arguments and whatever are actually weak and incorrect. In any case, following his arguments, then he curses Narada, that he must wander every way on all the different planets. He cannot stay in one place. So as Prabhupada comments, for many people, this is a curse. If one wants to stay in one place with a house, because like Grihastha means situated in a house. If he is wandering around, he's not in the house, so he cannot fulfill his Grihastha duties. So for Grihastha, yes, it is a curse. But for the renounced person, it is not a curse. So one of the stages of sannyas is the parivrajak. Parivrajak literally means to wander everywhere, to go everywhere. The previous types of sannyasis, the Kutichak and the Bahudak, do not wander everywhere. They sit in one place. But the parivrajak wanders everywhere. Why? Because he's completely unattached. He has no attachment at all to any place or anything. So he just wanders here and there and eats whatever comes and takes whatever shelter is there, etc. And so it's a very advanced state. So the for Narada Muni, of course, this is not a problem. Because technically he is not attached to anything in the material world anyway. So why would he want to stay in the material world? He belongs to the spiritual world. He has a spiritual body. So why be attached to anything in the material world? It's impossible for him to be attached to anything. So ultimately it's not a curse for him. It's actually a blessing. Of course, Daksha himself cannot curse Narada Muni. Just as a person like Brahma cannot influence the Supreme Lord or fool the Lord or do anything to the Supreme Lord. He's in a much lower position. So Brahma tries to fool Krishna by his maya, but Krishna's maya is greater, so he cannot fool him. So similarly, Daksha is in a lower position, Narada is in a higher position. Daksha's curses are actually not effective because Narada Muni is in a much higher position. In any case, Narada does not counteract the curse because anyway, he is detached from everything and he does not stay in one place. So it becomes a blessing, not a curse. He's simply stating what is already a fact for Narada Muni. Narada Muni does not want to stay in one place in the material world. He wants to travel everywhere and preach the glories of the Lord. So it's actually not a curse at all. But for Daksha, it is a curse. So on behalf of, on Daksha's part, of course, this is not a good conduct because he is cursing Narada. Rather than that, he should actually be worshipping him. So his conduct is not exemplary, it's to be criticized.
Daksha was offensive towards Lord Shiva also earlier. And now he's offensive towards...
Looks like him. He's in a very low level.
Maharaj, if he has the realization of karma and other sections of the Vedas, then it may be difficult, become difficult for him to execute his duty. Okay. If he is aware and realizing the other sections and the importance of other sections of the Vedas, like Upasana and all, then it may become difficult to execute.
Well, the person who is executing the karma should also understand that they are temporary in nature. Why he does them is because he does have material attachments. So as long as one has material attachments, then one should follow the duties of karma. If he gives up those attachments, then he's not obliged to follow those rules anymore. This is stated in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna talks about karma yoga and jnana yoga. So when they come to the level of jnana, then they're not obligated to follow the rules of karma anymore. But for most people, that's a long process. So therefore, most people are advised to do karma yoga. So that is why Krishna advises Arjuna how you do karma yoga rather than jnana yoga. But they should never lose the goal. The goal ultimately is to give it up.
Actually, in this case, what should have been his ideal behavior? He lost his sons 2 times.
Mm.
His duty is obstructed. So what ideally he should probably try his 3rd time?
Yeah, or just accept the will of the Lord, whatever happens, that's all. By the mercy of the Lord, I actually got rid of his goat head and he got another human head back, so he did get the mercy of the Lord in one sense. Yeah, if one loses something that one is attached to, then one becomes very disturbed. That's the whole idea here. Well, he should, but here we see he doesn't. We don't see the case of other Prajapatis going to such extremes or making such mistakes. This is a particular case of one person, but others don't seem to make this mistake, in spite of the fact that they also produce many children. Well, he should be a little detached from his duties at that point. If it's the will of the Lord that it happen, it happens. And let other Prajapatis do it. He's not the only Prajapati. There's so many others also. In other words, it's not his fault. He's produced the children.
So one of these characteristics and the traits of a person, they just travel life after life. His behavior has not really changed much.
Yeah.
So it means it just travels, unless somebody consciously wants to change, it doesn't really change.
In general, of course, it takes a time for people to change. Some people, of course, do change quite quickly, as we see, like Murugari the hunter, for instance. But in most cases, they don't. It takes them a long time to change. They're supposed to study. They sit and study in the ashram. Well, technically, the brahmachari is the one who studies the Vedas. So you cannot do that traveling. He has to sit in one place and learn the Vedas. That's the traditional brahmachari. He's a completely detached. So whether he stays in one place or he travels, it doesn't matter. He's beyond the parirajak. Completely detached from the material world, completely absorbed in the Supreme Lord. So it doesn't matter whether he stays in one place or travels. Well, that of course is the sadhana on parirajak is not perfect, so by traveling that prevents material attachment. But if one is paramahamsa, it's natural, he's not attached to anything, so it doesn't matter whether he travels or doesn't travel. Generally, no. He's absorbed in the Lord. Why is it a curse?
Why did he curse?
Well, it's a curse because generally the grihastha life is considered to be wonderful for most people. Most people take to grihastha life. So if one doesn't have marriage and have children, etc., it's considered to be a great misfortune, not only for the self, but for the whole family. So that is why the parents are always trying to get the children married. So if Krishna or Lord Chaitanya does something to the brahmana to insult him or whatever, or take away his, as a child I think this was, he played tricks on the brahmana or whatever he got.
person curses him. That, of course, is the power of Narada Muni, who's a special Shaktiraj avatar. So, obviously, his power to deliver is very, very great.
Dhanantara Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki.